How many people think, I would have loved to have seen that? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because it is a growth process. And this is a picture of our salvation. There's a lot of spiritual truth in here. But you know what? There was a time in my life when, because of my lack of confidence, I would turn everything into a spiritual truth. And I don't, and that there is a good thing about that. I don't mean to demean that at all. I mean, it is a beautiful picture of salvation, and God does open our eyes. We were blind. I once was lost, now I'm found. I was blind, but now I what? Now I see. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened so that you would know the hope of your calling and the riches of the glory of your inheritance in the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power towards those who believe. He wants us to see. He wants to give us spiritual sight. And I don't want to diminish anything at all from that. But you know, I also read a commentator on this passage who said, well, you know, these faith healers, you never see them really open the eyes of the blind. This is only the only thing we can really glean from this. And I love this guy, and I'm sorry he really kind of took that position, but, you know, I have compassion on him. He said, the only thing we really glean from this here is that, you know, that God has spiritual sight for us available. And I was like, I hear your heart, and I have no stones to throw because I've been there and done that. I know that. But you know what? This doesn't have to be a story from 2,000 years ago for us to sit pining thinking, gee, I wish I could have seen that. Gee, if only my eyes. And maybe my seed, maybe my faith is like a mustard seed right now. It's the smallest of all seeds. You know, about that big. You can barely see it. But what does a mustard seed do when it's watered and planted? Grows. It grows into a tree. Little tree? Humongous tree. It breaks through the shell. And the sprout comes up and breaks through the ground. It breaks through to the sunshine and to the rain, and it's watered and it's fed and it's given sunlight. And as it begins to sprout and grow, the roots go down and find their way into the water table. And it's able to draw water from the ground and draw water from there. And then it goes up and springs out. And Jesus said it becomes the greatest of trees so that the birds of the air come and make their nest in it. So it is, John, a growth process. And maybe right now, all I've got faith for is for a couple headaches and backaches. And but as God continues to develop my faith, and I yield to that and cooperate with Him and allow Him to show me great and mighty things that I did not know, I might find myself in the shoes of this woman. Well, not in her shoes, exactly. I wear a size 12. I don't think I'll fit. Not that I would wear them even if they did. Anyway. This woman, who I know you've heard of, in English her name is Heidi. In African they call her Ida, A-I-D-A, had the very blessed privilege of praying for three other women at different times who were blind, who were also named Ida, which would be Heidi in English. The first one, she says this, if I can just share this with you, in hopes of encouraging you as to what God might want to do in your life. She says, Tannick and Frost, one of our long-term missionaries, and I were in a little mud church up north. This is in Mozambique. We began to pray for another blind lady, and she fell onto the ground. Her eyes went from white to gray, to brown. And she was healed and seeing. Her name was Ida, the same name that I have in Mozambique. We were so excited, we could hardly wait to pray for the next blind person. She was so overcome by the presence of God and by the weight of His glory upon her. For a long time she was unable to walk, but she could see, and the joy of the Lord was all over her face. Do you ever wonder what it must have been like when Bartimaeus was healed of his blindness? What it's like when that happens? Here's what it's like. Tannikin and I were together for the first three times we saw the blind see in Mozambique. We were in Pastor Rigo's mud hut praying for another blind lady, again named Ida. Both of us felt the compassion of God, and when we began to cry over her, she opened her eyes and said, "You're wearing a black shirt." We were so excited, we hardly knew what to do. We asked, "How do you know it's black?" She answered, "Because I can see. I can see." She went blind when she was 8 years old, so she knew her colors. She knew I was wearing a black t-shirt. We went outside in the sun. She began to squint and squeal, saying, "Oh, oh." And then we said, "Now we want you to walk to where the ducks are." But they were quacking. And Tanakin said, "Better not do that. The ducks are quacking. We need to find something that's not making any noise." So we directed, "Walk to the bucket." So she started walking to the bucket. We added, "Walk to that mango tree over there." And there she'd go, walking to the mango tree. "How many fingers am I holding up?" 5. "How many fingers am I holding up now?" 7. She was healed. The community went ballistic. They started running in from all over the place, leaping and jumping and dancing and singing. They changed the name of the church to the Church of Miracles. And the second Ida was miraculously healed. You know what it looks like when someone gets healed of blindness? This is what it looks like. Wait a minute. Oh my goodness, there's 4 of them here. Third one. We were ministering at a conference in, oh my gosh, Chimoyo. And I felt like Jesus was going to do it again. There was a blind lady being led by a little boy, and we prayed for her. Down she went, stuck to the floor, unable to move. Her eyes went from white to gray to brown. She was healed. She began to cry. And she said, "Oh, look what Jesus did for me. Look what Jesus did. Jesus loves me. Jesus has had mercy on me. Jesus really, really cares about me. Now I don't have to beg. Now I don't have to do my farming on my hands and knees in the dirt, in the dark. Now I can see. I can see. I can go cut wood in the forest and sell it in the market. I don't have to be a beggar anymore. Jesus loves me. Jesus cares about me. He is God, and I will love Him forever." That's what it looks like. That's what it sounds like. Oh, my heart just aches for that. God, grow this mustard seed in me. Last one. That night when we had our meeting, maybe 10,000 people showed up who had heard about the miracles. They were so excited, and many, many thousands gave their hearts to Jesus. And then they came forward for prayer. They never have you pray for headaches first, or backaches, or toe aches. They start right away with the deaf, the dumb, and the blind. A girl came to us. She was deaf and she was blind. And I thought, oh, Jesus. You can get a little nervous when there are thousands of people there and the first person they bring you is both deaf and blind. I just said a simple prayer. I remember I was just sitting on a chair. No big push them over, knock them down, yell and scream, put it on video approach. There was no video camera. There were no flashlights. There were no cameras. There was nothing, just the dark, the rain, and thousands of people. The lights were going out, and I began to pray, "In Jesus' name, open her eyes. I break the curse of blindness. I break the curse of deafness over her." And suddenly, I love that word. Suddenly, her eyes opened up. Her ears opened up, and she smiled this beautiful smile. Her mother screamed and screamed, "My daughter's healed! My daughter's healed! Look what Jesus did! My daughter's healed!" Now she can work. Now her husband can come back. Her husband had... Yeah, now she can work. Thanks, Mom. Well, you asked, what do I do now? Her husband had left her because she was useless. But now she was miraculously healed. she'd gone blind and deaf about a year and a half before this day. And they don't know why it happened. I think it was probably a witch doctor curse, because I felt led to break a curse over her. So God poured his love into her, and again, a village heard. After that, Marimeu came to Jesus. It seemed like the whole town wanted him. I just want to cast a vision. You know, if I see a toe healed, I'm pumped. I'm stoked, man. Somebody's toe gets healed, I'm telling everybody about it. Boy, that happened. We went to this the last time we went to the Voice of the Apostles. They told us to pray for one another, and I'm praying for this guy. And it's like, I just felt led to pray for his feet. I felt really stupid. I was like, God, just bless his feet. Bless his feet, Lord. And he was amazed. He said, how did you know that? It's like, I don't know. I just kind of felt like I was supposed to do that. So I'm sorry. You know, he's like, no, I have this growth in my foot, in my left foot. And the doctors don't know, haven't been able to make it go away. They haven't been able to stop the pain. And that's just so cool that you prayed for me. I'll take that. I'll take a left foot. Maybe I'm not at blind eyes yet, raising the dead yet, but I will take a left foot. And tomorrow, maybe I'll pray for the blind. And the day after that, maybe I'll try to raise the dead. might be scary. But I pray that this mustard seed, small as it may be, will grow and take root and break forth and come through the ground and become a mighty mustard tree someday. Because that's what mustard seeds do. They grow, and it's a process. Hallelujah. And we're praying for cancer right now. And we're seeing a girl. She's not out of the woods yet, but she hasn't taken pain meds in 5 days. And she's eating again. And she's working around the house doing activities now. That's enough to keep the fire going for me. I want to keep praying. I want to see this girl live and thrive. I want to see her testify a year, 2 years, 5 years from now. I thought I was all over, and God, Jesus, healed me. And so I'm throwing off everything that's going to stand in the way. I'm casting it aside, and I'm not begging. I'm just rejoicing. I'm just declaring. I'm just praying with a heart of joy and celebration and faith. Daddy, show your glory. And be magnified in our midst. So, let me ask you today. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? Not because he's a vending machine. Actually, Bill Johnson said, you know, the promises of God are not some magic coin that we redeem. They're an invitation to a process that changes us. Nevertheless, Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Where do you want your journey to go from here? Nothing is impossible with God.